Let us pause in life's pleasures and count its many tears while we all sub sorrow with the poor. There's a song that will linger forever in our ears. Oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis a song, the sigh of the weary. Hard times come again no more. Many a days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times come again no more. While we seek mirth and beauty.
Oh, Mavis Staples with Hard Times Come Again No More. It is a song written in 1854 by the pioneer songwriter Stephen Collins Foster. And she selected this particular song to be part of a tribute album to Foster called Beautiful Dreamer, The Songs of Stephen Foster, which she released in 2004. It's a beautiful album, and this is one of my favorite songs on it. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and what can I tell you? We're in the middle of a global pandemic, and yesterday we saw a glimpse of a very flustered looking president, a very downhearted president, who seemed to be yielding to the reality that he has bungled the coronavirus effort in the United States big time. In fact, Politico ran a piece today that Russia has offered to help the president, help him out of the dilemma that he's in. But I think this is a time to take a look at some of the ways in which, some of the ways we might be dealing, or Congress should be dealing with the president. And I think it is time there should be a vote of no confidence. Now, they had a news conference yesterday. It is so surreal, you can't really comprehend that they're not comprehending what is going on. The president actually said that he would consider it a good job, his administration, and he, of course, being the administration, it would be a good job if, when all told, in the coming weeks and months, when all is added up, if there is even a total of 100,000 to 400,000 people who are forecast to be victims of this virus. If it's 100,000, he could live with it. He would consider it a good job. It's like, what planet is he living on? And that this was accepted. This was accepted rhetoric from the president. And people are just going farther and farther away from him. But we see, I mean, you can't deny now that there's something wrong with this president. There can be no denial about it. He has been denying the coronavirus's impact since it became known as a disastrous disease in China. But whatever people want to say, the fact is that China dealt with it. They had to use some pretty strict regimens and measures. But now we could appreciate, as it comes to the United States, and thousands have already died, thousands more infected, and we see the progression, we see what is likely to happen, that this is only going to grow out of control. This president, yesterday I took a look at him, and he looked like he just wanted to fold up and disappear from the news conference. He looked awful. But he is surrounded by people who will not let him face the music, not call him to account. The Republicans certainly aren't chastising him. And the Democrats have joined the chorus, it seems. You know, we have silly statements by Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker. And she says vapid things like, well, the president took so long and many people died. That's not enough. You have to quantify this. You have to make it real what he did and what he didn't do that cost a lot of lives in this country already and that will continue. We still are living with the lies that hospitals have everything they need. And yet we are hearing from people on the front lines. They don't have enough gloves. They don't have enough gowns. Basic stuff, basic stuff. Well, anyway, this whole series that we're doing this week is about you and expressing your views as to what is going on. The title today, just to give you a sense of where I think we should be going, is as part three, party politics, a raging pandemic, and a bloviator president. That's where we're going today. We have three things to talk about that are related to each other. How are they related in your mind, in your point of view? What is the relationship among these three things? Party politics, a raging pandemic, and a bloviator president. We're talking, we'll continue to talk because this is really what this is, the station should be all about and is all about, encouraging dialogue, encouraging people to express their points of view. And then we go from there. But first, I wanted us to just get out of our systems what we have been aching to express and to put it out there so people know what you're thinking. Okay, 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. How do you link what we're talking about today. We have a raging catastrophe. We have a bloviating president. You see any link here? Give us a call and tell us about it. 888-874-4888. I just think there ought to be a movement somehow, a recall movement, even before the election, or maybe make it part of the election, a recall of this president. He is clearly an evident danger to this country. He doesn't know how to do his job. He's fumbling. He's making devastating mistakes, devastating errors. And we should be able to do something about it even before the official election. We should be able to express, if only to ourselves, we should be able to express our intense dissatisfaction with this administration. And at a time like this, we shouldn't have to wait until an election to do so. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And I want you to draw in not just your opinion, to give us what you think are some facts that support your position. Okay? Give us one or two. You don't have to give us a whole library full. This is not what we do every day. But certainly you have a point of reference when it comes to independent corroboration of what it is you are thinking. All right. So, Marcus from Wisconsin, you are our first call.
Thank you, Ms. Lead, and for the important forum you provide here. By the way, your producer is a real mechanic. Keep him.
I just sent him a note today.
Your music is always superb. So I would recommend to you checking out a track by the Mississippi blues man Big Jack Johnson called United States Got Us in a Bad Shape. You might like it. Anyway, my approach on this is the same as always. I don't rely on media for information. I check out certain sources, mostly on shortwave. I listen to stations from all over the world and sort of triangulate to see what is true, but mostly I use source documents. So in terms of the coronavirus crisis, I have read the reports of epidemiologists from Italy, from Korea, from China, where they have been dealing with this more or less effectively. And so there are three main areas. I'll be as brief as
but
I possibly
we're asking
can.
You to opine about the connection among these three things that we talked about earlier. We have party politics, a raging pandemic, and a bloviator president. How do you link these three?
I think it's important to look at, one, the veracity of the information we're getting, how power is modulating the situation, and if anything, what we can do about it. Number one, governments do not end pandemics. Never happened. Number two, there is no reliable test specifically for coronavirus 19. They are able to test for the presence of a coronavirus, and there are many. Most common flu viruses are coronaviruses, and they do not distinguish in cause of death. The vast majority of people who die from it are 80 and over, the vast majority. The next highest percentage is 70 and over. Once you get below 60 years of age, the numbers become vanishingly small. The way a virus generally works is
Eli, I have to interrupt you again, Marcus,
sure.
Because you're off target, I'm sorry to say. We're looking for you to connect these things.
Yeah.
Given the situation we are in now, rather than to explain how this particular virus or any virus works, we want to know, what do you see as the common thread? What do you see as a factor uniting all three that we should be concerned with?
You know, that's exactly what I'm getting to. It's the response to it. It's the response to the ability to test. Countries that have successfully resolved it, that have controlled it, Singapore, Korea, read the reports of the epidemiologists. They didn't lock down the country. There are lots and lots of epidemiologists before this lockdown who said this is a bad idea. It's based on inadequate partial science, not understood well enough. So, in the last year before the lockdown, we saw in the U.S. the biggest wave of CEO retirements, resignations, in U.S. history. Over almost 1,500 CEOs resigned before this. And I'm not talking about mom-and-pop operations. This is Nike, this is Boeing, this is McDonald's. On and on. Look it up for yourself. As the Congress people that we know of four so far, and there are certainly more that are already being investigated, who sold stock before this. So there is good evidence that there was foreknowledge of either the planned response or the effect of the shutdown. There's good evidence for this. There's certainly good reason to be skeptical. Now, Trump,
but you have to close up because we're running tight on time today.
Sure. What I'll point out is that I mean, Trump is your surprise that government officials would do anything irresponsible. That's something for adolescents to be surprised at. They all do this. This is a global program. It's a global capitalist system. They basically turned the Treasury into a hedge fund, and the underwriter, the credit risk, is everybody but the Federal Reserve Bank and corporate America and the big banks and the insurance companies. They are the beneficiaries. You are the underwriter. We all are. Now, this is no accident. This has nothing to do with a virus or an epidemic. This is a swindle.
Okay. Thank you. You got us started today and with some very salient points, I might add. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, Eugene, how's it going?
Okay, how's by you?
You know, me and my thumbs, we're here. Hanging in by the phones, the well-developed fifth digit. I haven't been able to listen to you. I've been trying to take care of some people in my family with this, my opinion is nonsense that's going on, but to bring it back to your point as far as pertaining to a bivocating idiot, ineffectual party politics, and the general state of the coronavirus, whatever you want to call it. I'm not a scientist. I've got my own suppositions based on my own research. I'm not going to go into that, but suffice to say, these things happen from time to time, and a well-prepared health system is the only way to deal with them. And if you look around the world, the countries that have been dealing with this auspiciously and propitiously are the ones that have affordable, free health care for everybody. That's number one. Number two, this man is an idiot. He is clearly showing that he has some type of mental defect or flaw, and he needs to be removed. This is a crisis situation where leadership, level-headed and clearness is needed, and I shame all the people around him, Fauci, the doctor, all of these people around him, because they need to let this guy hang out and just be put to task, because he's a jerk and a joke. And people I know who live in different countries constantly tell me from the time he was elected that he's turned our government into a freaking clown show. So he needs to go. And I totally agree with you. There should be some type of impeachment process, some type of indictment process. What I fear with the lackluster, which brings me to the third point, the party politics, with the death of party politics, i.e. the Democratic Party, no leadership, no guidance, no moral perpetuity, no intestinal fortitude, no testicular fortitude. I hope we don't wind up because of the coronavirus, with a banned election and four more years of this idiot. But, yeah, party politics is dead. There needs to be a movement to get rid of both of them. The Democratic Party is not for the people, it's not by the people, and has no intentions of the people. And between him and Biden, I mean, it's the lesser of two evils.
Or the evil of two lessers.
The evil of two lessers, the lesser of two evils, the lesser of two lessers, whatever you want to call it. It's a sad state of affairs. We really need a revolution, but that's another topic in itself.
So as you see it, just to wrap up, what do you think is possible, given everything that you've just outlined, everything that you know so far? What do you think is possible?
Well, I've been working with people. You know, I've been talking to people. You really can't gather. You can do a lot of things on the internet, but I'm from the old school with grassroots work, knocking on doors, talking to people, educating people. I see a lot more people are starting to become more educated. They're starting to look into things. One thing about the internet is it allows people to access information more freely. And with a lot of time, with this forced incarceration, I call it shelter in place or whatever the heck you want to call it, people are starting to look into things and they're starting to ask questions that I never heard people ask before. And in conversations, when people call me to see, hey, Ed, are you all right? We get to talking. And, you know, some of the views that they thought I was off the wall, they're starting to track with. You know, be that as it may, I'm not totally right. I'm not totally wrong. But people are open now. People are starting to see a difference. And I hope that takes flight. Because when this thing, and it will run its course, like I said, there are millions upon billions of microbes and viruses in this world. They outnumber the human race a billion to one. And these things are going to happen. The world is smaller. The climate is getting warmer. And that allows for more microorganisms and viruses to fester and work their way into the daily course of our lives. And we've got to get rid of a government that doesn't care about us. We've got to get rid of a government or a political system or an economic system that has no thought for the people. And it's coming. It might take a while, but it's coming.
Thank you, Ed. Thanks for your comment today. Lincoln from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, can you hear me?
If you put the phone directly to your mouth, we could hear you a lot better. Because we're picking up echoes.
It tolerates my earphone. I'll take off my earphone and speak directly into the phone. Yeah, hello?
Yes.
Yeah, party politics. Because of party politics, what we find is we're in a situation where the Democratic Party and those who are anxious to create a coup against Trump, they're behaving opportunistically, and they are accusing Trump actually of things he's not guilty of, in terms of especially his response to this thing. And we the people too, because we still so want to indict Trump, and I'm not saying this in his defense, because I keep telling him I'm not a Trump supporter. But I choose to be objective at all times. And so we are being controlled by lies. Like a lot of things you said, it's, I know you have good intentions, but it's misinformation.
What is misinformation?
Like, for example, this coronavirus, it did not hit China first. It hit the United States first. And I want to show, bring you something to your attention. There's a bio lab. The U.S. have a bio lab, and it's in Fort Detrick. Just imagine this and think of this coincidence.
Yeah, but you're off. I understand that you disagree that with my statement that it was said to have occurred in Wuhan province in China first. Okay, I didn't make that up. That was stated as fact by China. So I figured they know a thing or two. So
let's get
to the point, because we're off, and it drives me crazy when we go off the point. The point we're trying to do is to link together party politics, a breaking and raging pandemic, and a bloviated president. What can you say about how you would connect all three?
What I'm saying is you have to understand, like one of the previous callers, the first brother, if you're relying on the information you're getting, and especially about this, then you're coming from a very wrong place, because the information they're giving you is not true. So many of the conclusions you're making is incorrect because of the information you are relying on. And like I am saying this to you, Trump wasn't aware of what was going to hit him. And what I mean by that, this was planned. And this China don't
How
even
do you
realize.
Know this was planned?
Pardon?
How do you know this was planned?
The coronavirus, if you do a lot of studies, you realize that it was planned.
I do a lot of studies, and I still don't know that it was planned.
Yeah, okay. A very good person for you to download is, there's a brother named T. West, and he has a show.
We are off the point, and I am really getting upset, because this is what happens with you every time you call. We have a subject. The subject is A. And you start off by fractionating the subject into where you want to go. And where, of course, where you want to go is the right way to go, as you see it. If you have nothing to contribute to the topic as stated, then pass up the opportunity and come on at another time when you have something else to say. But we are way off topic, and we are confusing people at this point. Party politics, a raging pandemic, and a bloviated president. Three hits. How do you stitch them together?
I tell you what I'll do. I'll wait until Friday when it's open mic, open forum.
No, assuming it's going to be free on by Friday, we are continuing this dialogue all through the week, including up until Friday.
So we won't be able to give our opinion in a broad way on Friday?
I'm sorry?
I wouldn't be able to give my opinion.
It's not going to be Free Your Mind Friday. We're having technically Free Your Mind all week.
Okay, let me end by saying this then.
Okay.
You see, all of what you have said so far, it's on a false premise. And all of what you said.
I disagree with that, but that's your opinion. That's fine.
To show that, but another time I'll give you the facts.
No, but what you should know is how to engage me. You don't engage me by telling me, or telling the audience for that matter, what you're saying is wrong. But you're not prepared to show how I'm wrong. to debate the point. It's enough to just say you're wrong. I'm saying no, that's not enough. We have to demand more of you. It's not enough to just simply say a person is wrong.
That's what, but I was showing you something and you thought I was off the point. I was telling you about Fort Detrick, and I was telling you that this biolab
but
was
that's not
down.
Our discussion. I want to
repeat the title
of our discussion today. I repeated it a couple of times before the program really got off to a start. The title, once again, is Party Politics. I never said who was right or who was wrong. A raging pandemic. I never said whether in fact it is or it is not. It is a raging pandemic. And a bloviator president. Do you want to debate whether Trump is a bloviator president?
In reference to this pandemic, we could.
Okay, we're wasting time. Let's move along. And,
okay.
You know, it's very important, and I really do want you to be part of what we're doing here, because I think you have much to offer. But you do the same thing. You follow the same pattern every time. We want to talk about apples. You want to talk about zebras. Therefore, we will be talking about zebras. I can't allow that. You either choose ahead of time whether this is something you want to be involved in, or you don't want to be bothered with it. Either way, it's fine by me. But look how much time we've wasted. Somebody could have had the opportunity in this time to express his or her point of view, which is what we're about. I'm not ready at this point to tell somebody they're wrong or they're right. I'm just interested in what is your opinion? That's what I'm after. Thanks, though, for making the attempt. Okay, 888-874-4888. Why don't we take a little break here, and then we come back to your questions and your comments and your analysis right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on BRN.FM, and we have as our topic today party politics, a raging pandemic, and a bloviator president. You make of it what you will, but tell us what you're thinking at 888-874-4888. Jesse from New Orleans, you're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Treese, I got to tell you, I love your show, and I listen to it often. And, you know, it's a strange time to be alive in this world, a lot of stuff going on. And I really, one of the things that hits my pet peeve or whatever is when everybody starts talking about number 45 instead of the corporations behind him, it's like the corporations are calling the shots. It's like, come on, people. Like, you're letting this person upset you who has nothing to do with the corporate movement that's going on behind it. So I'm just saying that because, you know, I love this show because this is one of the channels I can tune into where people are talking about real talk.
Well, you know, I like the idea that we have the capacity within ourselves to tolerate different points of view. I'm excited by that, actually. I'm not bothered by it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, me too. I'm excited about it too. I mean, because, you know, because that is dialogue, that is conversation, that's interaction with your community. I mean, it's a part of life, right? It's what
yes.
is supposed to happen.
And I believe strongly that this listener-supported radio station continue to do its job of facilitating interaction between and among people. And in so doing, we raise each other's consciousness up. That's important, whether we agree or not. But it's important for us to have it as an avenue of communication.
I agree with you 100%. But I got to say this, Ms. Otrice, is that sometimes the thing we tell people, like, we want your opinions, and then we tell them, we want your facts. And then it's like, you know, people have opinions and facts. It's like, oh, wait a minute. So people ain't really that sophisticated to separate opinions from facts. It's just how it is. And I hear you telling people all the time, it's like, give me your opinion. Just the facts, please. You know, it's just like, okay, well, you know, I get it. Life is confusing.
But opinions somewhere, somehow, and whether directly or indirectly, you should be able to point us to something that buttresses your opinion, that makes your opinion credible, or far more credible. This is what we have to develop. How do we debate? We don't just have a litany of, quote, opinions without facts. We have to train ourselves to integrate factual material into what we are expressing as an opinion, because in the end, the minute you get on air, you are an educator.
Yes, ma'am.
And being an educator, I'll break down the word, meaning out of, and ducere is to lead. So when you are an educator, you are leading people out of a state of not knowing into a state of knowing. Everybody's an educator when you start expressing your opinion. And I'm hoping that we develop the discipline to integrate what we loosely call facts into our opinions, so they become even more credible and more solid. People could still disagree. That's okay. But you've demonstrated that you have buttressed your opinion with facts. That helps a great deal.
Indeed. Indeed.
Thank you so much for calling in today. I appreciate it greatly. Bill from Brooklyn, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm definitely here, Utrecht. Good afternoon to you and the Utrecht and the audience. I keep going back. Oftentimes, if I listen on to my third grade teacher, Miss Brown, it says, follow directions. You can't make it any simpler. I mean, and I sense you remind me of her, because
but I like her.
Yeah, she would have to take a break at moments too, you know, when she'd get exasperated. But regarding the topics of the day, you know, the politics, I've told people in the past, over the past 3 months or so, the United States now is in a, they laughed at me and said, we are a failed state. I mean, we have sick sailors on ships. We have a broken healthcare system with people lining up, and they're bringing in freezers for, you know, to create morgues and so forth. It's we really have crossed the line, and also because of this absolutely no leadership, and not leadership from 45, but leadership from the Congress. That you know, in the past, no matter what side of the aisle folks were on, they could come together in crisis and really come up with solutions that are needed. And so, regarding number two, the raging pandemic. Yes, the gentleman mentioned before that various forms of the coronavirus have been around before, and this is something really that's hit the whole world. So we're really in a global existential crisis right now, no matter what side of the four corners we're on. And so that's, if there's any kind of unifying moment for the world, it would be now. However, since 45 got in and he basically abdicated leadership in the world very clearly stating it's just America, us, America, you know, first, and the rest of you, you know where you can go. So there is no leadership during this crisis, and other countries are kind of stepping up to kind of fill in that vacuum, including Mr. Putin in Russia, who basically came right out and said, you know, the U.S. is no longer a major superpower. And finally, the bloated, blowhard president. I don't watch him a lot, but the moments I do, I'm really caught in a transfixed state that I really can't believe what I'm seeing and hearing repeatedly. Each and every time the man comes out, he's saying something that's so off the wall. He's talking about his friends and business, and then he just goes off on these tangents. He attacks reporters, and he tries to walk back things that are factual and that we can just go to the videotape and see for ourselves. So that's it right there, 1, 2, 3. And
Me ask you, if you could stitch your 1, 2, 3 together, what should we come away with from what you say? What are we coming away with?
I can say that right off the top of my head is what you probably back in the fall mentioned several times, that people really needed to start looking out for themselves, their families, and their community, start preparing. And lo and behold, here we are. You know, you said it months ago. And hopefully folks were listening. I know that I was. You know, I was getting, you know, canned vegetables and things together. And right now I have potatoes and sweet potatoes on my top of my balcony outside. My grandmother used to have a root cellar, so I know how to do that kind of stuff. It's just really about we're in a real fix. And we just really have to stick together from the grassroots and propel or basically encourage our leaders, for lack of better words, that they have to react. And I like what you said about recalling this president. It's clear each and every day he comes out at 6 o'clock or whatever and dominates the news cycle for a whole hour talking nonsense. So that's my take on it.
All right. Well, it's a good take. Thank you so much for calling and contributing. I appreciate it. Moki from Connecticut, you're on the air.
Greetings, Professor Lee.
Thank you.
And salutations.
Thank you.
The advent, okay, what do all these three things add up to, Eutrice? Are, and with the advent of the virus, we have been in the middle of, but this is formal declaration of a class war upon the people of this country and the world. What these things add up to is we are on our own. It's a declaration. The big giveaway, $4.5 trillion, the peanuts, the crumbs they're throwing us. It's an obvious thing that these three things add up to, and I don't really want to use the word fascist, but that's the tool of this worldwide war against the people, we the people.
Okay, I was expecting some more.
Oh, I was just trying to, consult, give you the answer that I hoped I had to your question. Those three factors, to me, add up to class war and point to the fact that they're telling us, you're on your own. We don't care about you. And they're demonstrating that, of course, with their completely inappropriate reaction to this pandemic. So whether it was on purpose, whether the virus was an accident, the outcome is it's war. And it's obviously class war because the elites have already left the cities weeks ago. Look, 150 CEOs of major companies stepped down just before the outbreak. So yeah, I can give you things to back up my hypothesis, but I think it's pretty easy to prove that we've been in a class war, but this is the coup d'etat, the virus, and the big giveaway. The complete and utter disregard for the people. It's just so obvious. The things even the governor of New York is doing.
So you outlined that this is a class war in the making. What do you expect to happen? Let's say a couple of months go by. What is the picture? Is it the same picture or is it different?
A couple of months would only give these powers the ability to consolidate, just to wrap it all up. And by that, what do I mean, wrap it all up? It's starting to become clear to me what the intentions the elite have for us, for the population. And they're looking, it seems to me, this is just my impression, and I do have sources for this. I didn't make it up on my own. A fellow named David Icke is describing what is to come is a scenario depicted in a movie called The Hunger Games. And so from that, The Hunger Games is like everybody for themselves. You know, the whole structure of border lines completely redesigned to facilitate a fascist regime. The president and his cronies, I should say in specific, Rudy Giuliani, President Rudy Giuliani, have been traveling the world consolidating fascist power. By that, I mean they're patting these guys on the back. Attaboy, you're doing a great job being a good little fascist. So I see Hitler's taking over, Hitler types taking over the governments all around the world. If you're looking for proof, I don't know, the Yellow Vests are battling a former Rothschild banker. Macron, the president of France, is a former Rothschild banker. So if you want signs, if you want proof, just look around. I'm not telling you to investigate. I've already done enough to come to the conclusions that I have, that they not only have no good intentions for us, they have very bad intentions for the people of this country and every nation.
Well, thank you very much, Mookie, for contributing today. I really appreciate it. Leslie from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm glad to get on, and I hope everybody is well. President Trump is going to cut $6 billion from the New York State Medicaid budget. If Governor Cuomo goes ahead today and cuts $2.5 billion from the New York State Medicaid budget, it's going to trigger Trump to cut $6 billion. So people need to call Cuomo, and people from New York State need to call Governor Cuomo today and tell him that we don't want these Medicaid cuts. His number is 518-474-8390. 518-474-8390. I'm sorry that's off topic, but this is very important. It has to be. They're taking a vote today.
All right. You have any opinion about the topic, the scheduled topic for today?
Well, basically, I think that President Trump is a puppet and he's an idiot, and he's being directed by people in the 1% to sabotage our economy. And this economy is going to be destroyed after this lockdown of so many thousands, millions of people and businesses. So I'm not looking forward to a great future here.
All right. Thank you, Leslie. And good luck with the initiative at 518-474-8390 to express your view regarding cuts to the Medicaid program in the state of New York. Okay, we have Jay from New York. You're on the air.
How are you, Utrecht? I hope that you are doing well. And people are
hanging in, like we all are.
That's what I like to hear. You know, Utrecht, I have to disagree with you on something in regards to what you said earlier. The removal of Trump from office, it seems like his propaganda of showing himself as being, as one would say, a wartime president, and him doing the things that are best in the interests of this country has really fooled the people, because from what they're saying, his popularity and his approval is improving in the so-called ratings of the people of America. I just don't understand it, but maybe because of what he's done, position himself to be basically on prime time, the time when most people watch the news, to put forward his propaganda and madness is working. So,
Trump isn't all that sophisticated and complicated. He learned early on in his professional life that, you know, the ability to influence people and as many as possible at the same time is key to sales. It's a selling job.
Right.
So that's how you measure your worth. You have a message, you broadcast it, or you get it to as many people as possible at the same time, and you sit back and you watch the results. And as you measure the results, you get a clue as to whether your gambit is working. Here in the United States, he has had more than enough evidence that his gambit is working. Because when people are reacting at that level, they're not thinking, they're just reacting. So here's a guy comes across as a showman. You know, he's got his hair is all funny, and he spray tans himself practically every day to look orange, and he's nasty. He's a typical New York nasty businessman, and there's something attractive about that to lots and lots of people. He's brazen. He has no shame. He has no respect for anybody. And in a sense, he is a brand new prototype. There hasn't been anybody like Trump on the national scene as a politician.
Never.
But you know what? I can see
George Wallace.
Where it's wearing off.
Maybe George Wallace and Bill Connor, we have seen that act before. But is it wearing off? I don't know, you two. I really don't know.
I agree with you. There's reason to be concerned, because at the same time, he is operating subconsciously in our minds at a level we're accustomed to thinking. We're accustomed to thinking in racial terms. Even black people are accustomed to thinking about white superiority as the norm. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when a guy comes across that way and he's bold and brazen with it, he shows no hesitancy about it. That says to people, This guy's a tough guy. This guy is my guy. But when you look closely at Trump, you see how insecure he is. You see how unthinking he is, and I'm using a nice word for being ignorant. He's an ignorant man. And he's a danger even to himself, because one of the things he should have learned by now as a businessman is you got to get people to like you. People have to sense a genuine tie with you, that you may be outrageous, but in the end you're a good person, but you look at his actions and you see that his actions are consistent with what he really thinks. He's really not a nice person.
You treat.
And yeah.
The thing is, he's fine-tuning his act. He's now acting a little more, I would say, stable, in a sense that he allowed the people to convince him that this Easter thing could not happen. He backed off of it. He changed his perception on how he sees the virus, and with the propaganda that's being put out there, pretty soon they're going to make it seem as though he was on top of this thing from the beginning and done the best job ever. It's amazing the way this thing is going to go the longer it does.
The problem with that theory is that, you know, the old saying, you could fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. That's the phase we're in now. You can't fool all the people all the time.
Well, let's hope so for our sake, because if it doesn't, we're going to be in a world of trouble if this guy gets back in the office another 4 years. And the sad thing is that the alternative to him may be worse. If you think about it, it may be worse because...
Well, we should have been,
better.
All along, we should have been paying attention to our own business. And what do I say all the time? What is our business? Our business is to ensure, to fortify the only thing that would save us, which is community. That's the only savior we have, that we strengthen our communities, our families, and those things that sustain us. That's it. We don't need Trump, really. There are people in this country, I talk about the Amish all the time. They do not vote. They're not part of any political process. They don't care who is president. They grow their own crops, they build their own homes, they teach their children themselves. They are fully self-sufficient. They don't want telephones, they don't want the latest gadgets. They are fully self-sufficient and they're tight as a community. Now, some things may not appeal to us because we have a different attitude toward life. But the point I'm making is, here's a community that determined centuries ago how it not only wants to live, but how it must live if it is to survive the long haul. All right, that brings us to the end of our program today. Thank you so much, everyone, for contributing. Back at you again tomorrow. Bye-bye. Come again no more.